All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We saw how that the Lord has provided armor for His people. I want to concentrate on one piece of that armor this morning in Ephesians 6:15. He says here, "And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We've seen God's purpose in trials here lately. And the Lord said that you must, through much tribulation, He said you must, He said this to the believer, you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Satan's chief desire is to wound the Achilles heel of the believer. And so Satan and his chihuahuas are always nipping at the heels of a believer. And God has, in order for us to walk to Christ, make straight paths for our feet to Christ, in order for us to walk through the trial and walk throughout the life of faith, God has provided shoes for the believer. These are ready-made shoes. First of all, He speaks here of your feet. He says, having your feet shod. What does the God say in His Word about our feet as we're born into this world? What does He say about the feet of unbelievers? Let me give you some scripture. In Proverbs 1:16, He says, "Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." He says in Proverbs 6:18, "Their heart deviseth wicked imaginations, and their feet are swift in running to mischief." And then in Isaiah 59:7, He says again, "Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." And Paul quoted this again in Romans 3:15, applying it to Jew and Gentile, male and female, everybody born of Adam. And that's our case by nature. That's what our feet are swift to do. God has to bring us to the point where we'll confess this about ourselves. And until we can say, "This is so of myself," till I can be brought to the point where I can say, "Yeah, my feet run to evil. My feet are hasty to shed innocent blood. My feet are swift to run to mischief." Until I can say that about myself, I can't be saved. Because I have no need of salvation yet. I don't see my need. I don't see the purpose for which God has sent Christ into the world. We've got to be brought to this place. Look over to Luke 18. Until we're humbled and brought down, we'll never enjoy God's free justification. Look at what Christ said here. You know this parable, but look at Luke 18 and verse 11. Now let's begin in verse 10. Let's begin in verse 9. Sorry. He says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And that'll always be the case if we trust in ourselves that we're righteous. We'll despise others. Because when you trust in yourself that you're righteous, you're always exalting yourself over somebody else. This is what He's going to show us in this parable, one of the things. He says there, "Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican." Pharisee was outwardly looked righteous. He was a religious man. This publican outwardly looked like a thief and a robber to everybody. But now watch this. Does God look on the outward appearance? No. Look at this. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I'm not like other men. They're extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now that's the words of the Redeemer. Look over again at Matthew chapter 9. We have to be brought down to see what God says of our feet, that they run to mischief, they're swift to shed blood, iniquity, and sin is all we are. We've got to be brought to see that, to know that, confess that to God. Look here at Matthew 9 and verse 10. Matthew 9 and verse 10. It says, "It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples." Isn't that this house right here? Here we are, hopefully gathered at the feet of Christ, and here you have a bunch of sinners and publicans. That's all we are. And look at what religious folks said. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners?" That's something they would never do. Thank God He does. Aren't you glad? Look, "But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician." You ever heard of a hospital that didn't have any sick folks in it? You never heard of a church that wasn't full of sinners either. Not a true one, because this is who He came to save. Look, "They that are sick, that's who need the physician. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." God's not interested in our works because our works are vanity. He's not interested in our sacrifice. God's going to save according to by His mercy. That's how He saves. "For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So we have to be brought to confess this about our feet. They're swift to shed blood. All right? Then secondly, our text speaks of having your feet shod. Having your feet shod. Verse 14, this word "having" is a passive word. Look at verse 14. "Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness," and you can add it to the last part, "having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel." That's a passive word. And then preparation, it means it's already been made. It's already prepared. It's already made. The believer, a true believer, we're not cobblers. We're not in the business of making these shoes. That's not our business to make the shoes that we're talking about here. Now, if you go to a physician and you have a broke foot, and your physician tells you, "I can heal you. All I need you to do is, I need you to set the bone. I need you to put some pins in your foot. I need you to make your cast. I need you to make you some crutches." I'd find another physician because that's not good news to me. I'm broke. I'm broken. I need to be healed. And he can't do it. He's telling me I got to help him do it. Well, the Christ of this Bible doesn't require you to help him make the shoes. These shoes come already made, and that's the good news of the gospel. Right now, if you think you have some ability and some righteousness and some merit in you so that you can help Christ make these shoes and put these shoes on yourself, you'll never be shod with these shoes at all. We have to, first of all, the Christ of the Bible. This is what we've got to be brought to see. The Christ of the Bible, the Christ of heaven, the true and living God, prepares the shoes by Himself. And He puts them on His people Himself. That's what we have to be brought to see. Peter called it salvation ready. Salvation ready to be revealed. It's ready. These are ready-made shoes. When you go to the shoe store, you find all different kinds of styles of shoes and all different sizes of shoes, and there's something for everybody. That's the shoes that this world preaches. We're going to see that in the second message. That's the type of shoe that the religion presents. We got something for everybody. We can satisfy you with something. Well, that's not the case with God. There's one shoe, one size, and it fits all His saints because it's made just for them. That's true. So the first thing Christ does when He saves us is He's got to strip off whatever it is that we're wearing. Whatever it is we've made for ourselves, He's got to strip it off. That's how He's going to use His preacher. He's going to strip off His own shoes. Remember when Moses, he came to the burning bush? That picture of Christ who was burned and yet it never touched him and never hurt him. There he stands. And what did the Lord tell Moses? "Put your shoes off your feet. Take your shoes off your feet. This is holy ground." Joshua walks out there and he's going to spy out Jericho before he goes to attack Jericho. Picture of us going forth preaching the gospel and Christ breaking down the walls and delivering His elect people out of the midst of the enemy city with the gospel. What was the first thing the Lord, when the Lord met Joshua, the first thing he said to him was, take your shoes off your feet. Take your shoes off your feet. We got to take anything that we've made has got to be taken off. It's got to be removed because we can't come with our shoes. We've got to come in His shoes. And then once He's removed our shoes, then He puts the shoes on our feet. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 2, He brought me up out of the horrible pit. And He brought me out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He established my goings. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. And He setteth me upon high places. This is the work of our Redeemer. And that's because this is how He sends forth His preacher. He strips him of his shoes. And then He puts the shoes that He's made upon his feet. That's the reason that when He sends this preacher with the gospel of the good news of the salvation that Christ has accomplished, His preacher comes forth speaking dogmatically. He comes forth speaking with authority. He comes forth speaking as one that knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I don't come up here and speak and say, well, now, maybe this is what this means, or this might mean this, or could mean that. What good is that? If I don't know what it is, I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to wait till God gives me some understanding on it before I speak it to you. But you come forth speaking that which you know, that which you've experienced by His grace. And that's why the Scripture says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings and publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that declare to you, thy God reigneth. You know how you're going to know God reigns? When He's reigned in your heart, that's how you know He reigns. All right, what is it we're shod with? All right, back at our text, Ephesians 6:15. He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Every child Christ saves, He finds us waging a very strange war. A very strange war. When God finds His child in our defiled minds, we think that the true and living God is our enemy. Now, we don't think the God of our imagination is our enemy. The God that we imagine, we don't think He's our enemy. We claim to love Him and cherish Him and honor Him, and we claim that He's saving by grace and through faith, when all along we're just trusting in our works. But the true and living God, that God we despise. That God is our enemy and our wicked mind. That's how Christ finds His people. That's the case with every one of us. And the fact of the matter is, the true and living God's not our enemy. Satan, sin, death, and hell's our enemy. But we think the true and living God's our enemy. By nature, that's us. And in the sinner's defiled heart, he thinks he's well fortified for the battle. And he thinks he's fighting against Satan. But the truth is, Satan in his wiles has closed this poor sinner. And his loins, instead of being girt about with truth, they're girt about with a lie. His breastplate is his own unrighteous works instead of being the righteousness of Christ. His feet are unshod and they're filthy while he walks in his own vain way. His flimsy shield is faith in his faith. And I'll tell you something about Satan. He won't ever fire a fiery dart at that shield. He loves that shield. Faith in your faith. Oh, he wants you to hang on to that. And his helmet, it's not salvation. It's the helmet of condemnation. Because as long as his conscience is not purged by the blood of Christ, he never has confidence that he's done enough so that he can rest. It's the helmet of condemnation. And his weapon is this dull butter knife called, this is what I think. Or this is what my false preacher told me. Instead of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. And so Satan's got him decked in hell's most flammable armor. And he thinks he's ready for war. Then that's why, with every vain work that the sinner does, whereby he thinks he's launching rockets at Satan, what he's really doing, and all of his works, and all of his self-righteous, and all of his self-sanctifying work, is he's hurling weapons and waging war against the true and living God, against Christ Himself. Do you get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That's how we are until He comes and saves us. We think we're waging war against Satan, and we're waging war against God Himself. And yet, this is what Christ will do for His child. In sovereign mercy, He's going to send him an ambassador of peace to declare the truth to him, to preach the gospel to him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. Here's the gospel of peace right here. There's the poor sinner Christ has redeemed. He's already reconciled him to God. Now He's going to send the message to him and let him in on it. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul stands up and he preaches and he says, all things are of God. Oh boy, we get that right there. That's a good place to start. All things are of God. That means nothing is of you and me. All things are of God. And he says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ? That's what I'm sitting here telling you now. I didn't reconcile myself to Christ, to God. God was in Christ, and He reconciled me to Himself. He made peace between me and Him by Christ Jesus. And Christ made that peace. He reconciled His people to God. And He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. This word we're preaching is the preaching of reconciliation. Here it is. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Let me tell you something about this word world. Whoever this world means, what it says right there in that text is, God in Christ reconciled every one of them to Himself. And that can't be undone. God has made peace between Him and them. Every one of them. Every one of them. That's the world of His elect. That's the world of those whom Christ represented on the cross. Because you look at what Christ accomplished to determine who they are. He reconciled them to God. And that can't be undone. They're reconciled. Look at this. Not imputing their trespasses to them. God won't ever charge their sin to them. Ever. Not ever. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. So then we're ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? He's an ambassador of peace. An ambassador of peace. And so Christ's ambassadors come preaching the gospel of peace. Christ said, here's what you preach. Comfort ye, my people. Cry unto Jerusalem. Tell her warfare is accomplished. The Lord's rewarded her double for all her iniquity. Her sins are pardoned. This is the message we come to preach. So he says here, it's as though God did beseech you by us, by His ambassador, by His preacher. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You quit waging war against God because God's already reconciled His people to Himself. What does it mean that He wouldn't impute trespasses to them? Look at the next verse. He hath made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, it doesn't mean that God possibly made Him sin. It means He made Him sin. It made Him sin. It doesn't mean that we might possibly be made righteous in Him. It means everyone for whom He made Him sin shall be made righteousness in Him. They have and they shall because of what Christ did. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why He didn't impute the trespasses unto His people. It's because He laid our iniquities on Christ and imputed all our trespasses unto Him rather than unto us. That's how He paid the wages of sin, which is death. He justified His people. He reconciled His people to God by His blood, by what He did at Calvary. And that way, they've been made the righteousness of God in Him. And when you've been made righteousness, now, God is at peace with you. God's got nothing else against you because He's put your sin away. This is the news that His preacher comes and preaches. And I don't know who he's reconciled. I have no idea. But as this message is preached, we're telling you Christ has made peace through the blood of His cross, that He's reconciled all His people unto Himself. And we tell you this, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds. Some of you sitting right here now know you were alienated and you were in God was your enemy in your mind. And yet now hath He reconciled you in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, trusting in the hope of this gospel which you've heard preached. Now, through this gospel, here's what Christ does. Turn to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I don't know who they are. I just preached this message telling you what Christ has done. What God's done in Christ. This is the gospel of peace. He's reconciled His people to Himself. He won't impute their sins to them. He laid them on Christ and charged them to Him. So their sins put away, they're purged, and God's at peace with them. And now we're calling on His people saying, now you be reconciled to God. Now what's going to make you lay down your weapons and throw away all your gunpowder and all your ammunition and quit shooting at God? What's going to do that? For Isaiah 57:21. Christ comes and He speaks to you and He starts stripping off your little filthy, flimsy costume armor. He starts speaking affectionately in your heart and He says this, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Christ speaks into your heart and He says, you don't have any peace. You know you don't have any peace. Turn over to Isaiah 59, verse 8. I'm going to apply this like Christ applies it to us when He speaks affectionately in our heart. He says, the way of peace you know not. There is no judgment in your goings. You've made you crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. This is what Christ speaks in our heart. It makes us begin to understand for the first time that I'm a real sinner. For the first time I understand my feet are not walking in a straight path. They're walking in crooked ways that I've made for myself. Look at Isaiah 54:10. Christ puts real armor upon us. Let me give you something He said over in Ezekiel. He said, moreover, I'll make a covenant of peace with you. This is what Christ speaks through this gospel. I'll make a covenant of peace with you. It shall be an everlasting covenant with you. And I'll place you and multiply you and I'll set my sanctuary in the midst of you forevermore. I'm going to make a covenant of peace with you. Look here at Isaiah 54:10. This is what He speaks to His child. The mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And I tell you, when He starts speaking this word in your heart, you're going to hear Him. You're going to quit thinking this is such a bad thing that He chose a people and died for a particular people and has to regenerate a people. Then you start hearing Him. And look at Isaiah 55:11. He says this, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It won't return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. With peace. It's all about peace when He begins to speak. Look at Isaiah 57:19. You thought you had done something and you had created peace for yourself with God. And then He speaks this to you. Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that's far off and to him that's near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. You don't create peace. You don't create this fruit of the lips. Christ said, I do. I do. And you know what he says this to you, what He said to him in John 16. He said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. That in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then look at Daniel 10 and verse 19. Daniel 10:19. This is what Christ does for His child. Then there came again one and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. be strong. Yea, be strong. And here's the result. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. That's when we hush and we want to hear Christ speak. That's when we hush and we want to hear what he has to say, because the Lord now has given us true strength. And then that's the first time that you hear this. Now, back there in 2 Corinthians 6, when he's done all that in your heart, stripped you, told you you don't know the way of peace, and then spoken his everlasting covenant of peace in your heart, told you that his word won't return void, you're going to be led forth with peace, he's created the fruit of the lips, peace, peace unto you, made you strong by touching you and strengthening you. Then, when all that's happening, and this gospel's going forward, for the first time, you will hear Christ speak through the preaching of the gospel. I'll be up here just rambling like I do every week, and for the first time, all of a sudden, it becomes real. It becomes real. And here's what you hear. Here's what you hear. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, I've comforted thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you begin to find yourself believing on God. And Scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's how he shods our feet, with the gospel of peace. And when we have peace with God, it's not only that we have peace with God. Look at Ephesians 2. We have peace with our brethren. Before, the preacher that he used to preach this message, you thought, he's my enemy. He don't ever prophesy anything good to me. He don't tell me anything good about myself. He just preaches evil against me. And you hated his preacher. And you hated the brethren that supported that preaching, because you think, they all against me too. But when he's made this peace in your heart, not only are you at peace with God, he makes peace between your brethren. You love them because they preached the truth to you and supported that truth. Look here, Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even those law of commandments contained in ordinances, whereby you thought you was righteous, that you thought made you have peace with God. You see, now Christ took those out of the way. And so he's made in himself of two one new man, so making peace. You know what we are right here, every believer right here? We're just one man. We're just one man. There's feet and hands and arms and legs and a torso, and Christ is the head. Because he's taken us all and just made one new man. One new man. And that's that one new man, Christ's body, his people, his church. That's how we come to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, from that day, we have confidence through the gospel of peace. Now we have on that breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Now we have our loins girt about with the truth of the gospel. Now we have the helmet of salvation on our head. Now we have the shield of faith, that God-given faith. Now we have Christ, our righteousness, on our breastplate. And our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. And from that day forward now, we have confidence through this gospel of peace. And Christ tells us this. In 1 Samuel 2:9, he said this. He'll keep the feet of his saints. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. That's God's promise to his people. Look at Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how we're kept, brethren. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's not our heart and our mind that's keeping us, because this peace passes our understanding. It's the peace of God. He's keeping us. Who's the peace of God? It's Christ. And He keeps us. He keeps us. Look here now at Romans 16:20. That's how we got these ready-made shoes. And there's one last thing He's going to do for us. He's going to keep us this whole walk of faith, keep us walking toward Him, following Him. He's going to continue to lead us. That's what these shoes are for. And look, here's what one last thing He's going to do for us. Romans 16:20. Won't be very long either. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? That's the gospel of peace. That's what it is to have your feet shod. All right. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren.